You're listening to the Driving Confidence Podcast for drivers who want to be calm and confident on the road. We will be sharing tips, stories, and advice to beat driving nerves and anxiety and build your driving confidence. Whether you are just starting out as a learner or have had your driving license for years, if you want to transform how you feel about driving, this podcast is for you. On this episode, we're welcoming on Mark Bourne, who is the head of the AA Driving School Academy and Operational Performance. And Mark's come on to talk to us about how technology can support anxious drivers in the future. Welcome, Mark.
Hello. Hello, Kevin. Hello, Tracy. Thank you for having me on. Really nice, Mark, to be here.
It's so nice to talk to you because I know where you are in the industry and what sort of people you're talking to. So when you said you're going to talk about AI, I'm really interested because it's something I haven't got a clue, even though I'm driver trainer, and what new things are coming in that we need to know about. So I think that's going to be really interesting for me and how it affects nervous drivers as well, or potentially might even help them.
Yeah, no, exactly. The AI movement, it's moving incredibly quickly. But I mean, within driver training and education and things like that, you know, driver education, it can sometimes take a little bit longer for things to filter through. And of course, there is that fear all the time of, well, what's actually going to replace a driving instructor? Surely not. And I mean, I had the same when we introduced virtuality into driving instructor training. And all of my trainers, well, you're just trying to replace us. And it absolutely wasn't. It was about actually making their job easier because our trainees had more experience and knew more when they actually then got into the car and worked with them. And I think that's the real opportunity with technology. It's not about replacing people. It's about how can you actually enhance that training environment or that working environment with the technology and the person. Because AI, I mean, I absolutely love it. But it's not always right, yeah. And it needs, it doesn't know everything. It knows an awful lot. And I'm always really surprised when I'm using AI and things like that. But it needs that human as well, which is, I mean, again, especially if we're talking about learner drivers and people that are perhaps a bit anxious about driving, the thought of having an AI robot sitting next to you or something like that just must be absolutely terrifying. But that's not how I'd see it would work. I think there's other ways of doing things. So, yeah.
I've not been called a robot yet.
No. And I actually think that for an anxious driver, I wouldn't mind betting that there's two camps, that there are some anxious and nervous drivers who would quite happily say, yep, let me just hand over to the car or a robot or, you know, just somebody else to take responsibility. And then I bet there's another camp who are like, oh no, because there's that control element. So I think it all depends where your nerves and anxiety come from, doesn't it, as to how you feel about it. So you mentioned I know we've got two things to talk about, haven't we? We've got the virtual reality and then we've got the AI. What one did you want to talk about first, Mark?
I think if we start talking about the virtual reality, because I think that's where it's been around for a long time. Technology has definitely, again, you know, really sort of come on and developed. And funny enough, it was always one, we introduced it for instructor training, but it wasn't necessarily one that I thought, oh yeah, I can see a definite link into driver training beyond sort of hazard perception and things like that, that people have gone down. You know, I just thought, well, if you're just doing educational videos, does it matter if somebody's in a headset? But actually, there's been a few people I've been speaking to recently, and I'm thinking, actually, there is a real opportunity. And it does come down to technology change as well, because I'm thinking very much around, well, as everybody starts to move into electric vehicles and we lose the clutch pedal and the gear stick, those cars are still going to be around for a long time. So how do you actually prepare a group of drivers that perhaps learn in an automatic vehicle, but then need manual tuition as well? And so I think the opportunity for VR for people that are perhaps nervous about driving or want some, you know, some development or those learner drivers coming through is actually VR used within a simulator type environment. So rather than actually sitting in a simulator and having TV screens in front of you and you're pretending you're in the car, but you can actually look around and you can see people walking past you or whatever. You know, if you're actually sitting in a simulator and you put a headset on so that you're in a 360 environment, then obviously it's much, much more immersive. And then you've really got to do, and that's the thing about the VR technology now, is you can have this augmented reality. So actually you could program it so that when you look down at your gear stick that's physically next to you, you do see your gear stick. But the person that's just standing beyond your gear stick that's actually watching you drive your vehicle, you might not be able to see. So, you know, I think that's the real opportunity with the VR. And then it's the scenes that are available in the VR as well. You know, you think about how easy it is now to, say, use like Google Places or something like that, where you can actually start to see the road environment. And so actually being able to create local roads and things like that. So actually you're not just driving around some random set, you're actually driving around or perhaps choosing the journey that you know that you're going to be doing in the future. And so I think that's the real opportunity. And I sort of picture it thinking, well, motorway driving, you know, lots and lots of people are a bit anxious about getting onto the motorways. And of course, can you imagine, you know, you're going, right, we're going to head out on this motorway. We don't really know how busy it's going to be. We don't know how congested that junction is. We might get, you know, it might be a smart motorway, so we might have some lane closures and speed limits, and you're going, it'll all be okay though. But imagine actually you could put that in a virtual environment and you can say, right, we're going to enter this motorway in this virtual environment, and this is what it's going to be. This is going to be your level of traffic. This is going to be the speed limit that's going to be there. And you get to rehearse and practice that. And that's a real opportunity, I think, to sort of think about, yeah, how can somebody be from, you know, that is a little bit anxious or even not even anxious, just wants to build up their training in a step-by-step way. The technology is coming on so much that I think there is that opportunity to be able to do that and to think, right, actually, I can experience the real world environment in a really safe virtual environment, get that practice, and then feel ready to take that next step of going, right, I now want to sit next to a driving instructor and go out and experience exactly the same junction. Of course, all the cars and things like that will be different and the factors around you, but it's just, it's that familiar bit of being able to go, right, okay, I've driven this 10 times. Yeah, I'm just now doing it a little bit more for real. So that's the, I mean, when I think about when we first introduced VR training for our instructor training and where we can go now, it is pretty amazing. And I think a lot of the people I've been talking to as well is that willingness to sort of invest in this, because there needs to be something that actually helps people learn, as I say, like a manual transmission, when all the driving instructor population potentially are over into automatic vehicles or electric vehicles as we come through sort of the next 5 to 10 years. So it's a good time to jump on the technology and go, actually, how else could it be used?
VR just amazes me how it does what it does. I just think it's amazing. So is there any downsides to using VR, would you say?
Yeah, so the challenge with VR is, one, you have got a headset on, and of course then, you know, you got to think, well, how do you get to put a headset on? You know, is it something that you buy the headset and then it's a program that's there? But if I'm talking about using it with a simulator where you kind of think, well, you've got to go to a location for that and that sort of thing. Then once you've actually got your headset on, not everybody can sort of travel through a road environment whilst they're actually not moving physically. And so you might get that sort of VR and motion sickness. And I mean, it's been a few years now, but I learned a lot about this as we were sort of setting up our program about how to best minimize that. But still, it's a very, you know, it's still a very real thing there of the brain thinking one thing, but the body actually is not quite doing the same thing. And then with VR as well, and again, this is the technology has come on and changed, but you don't have as much peripheral vision as what you would have out there in a vehicle and things like that. So, you know, you have it to turn a lot more and things like that. Yeah, we can spin that to being a real positive, because obviously we know, you know, especially if you're a little bit anxious, you don't want to move your head, you don't want to move your eyes from the front of the road, but actually moving your head and moving your eyes is a good thing for hazard perception. So yeah, there's some advantages perhaps to going, yeah, you've not got as much peripheral awareness in there.
And I think the things that I was thinking when you were talking is we often talk about the imagination. So we often talk about using imagery as a way of helping people who are anxious. So very often somebody who's anxious is using imagery in a negative way. They're imagining all the scenarios, all of the things that could go wrong. And they can, you know, they can really embed themselves in that. If they're really successful at imagery, they can use it in the wrong way. So we turn that around and we talk about people imagining their journeys. We talk about sort of imagine you're doing this particular junction or this particular roundabout and do it in your head, rehearse it in your head, mentally rehearse it, mentally practice it. And actually what VR is doing is taking that one step further, is making it more real, is making that potentially more accessible, because not everybody can use imagery in a controlled way. Not everybody likes doing it. Not everybody can do it. So that VR makes it really accessible. And of course, like you said, your brain says, I've done this 10 times already.
Yeah.
And well, it depends who you talk to, doesn't it? So some people will say your brain reacts and responds in exactly the same way to imagined or virtual reality experiences as it does to the real thing. Very often it's not exactly the same way, because logically you know that you're imagining it or it's VR, but your body will often respond in exactly the same way to what your brain is seeing. So it really does give you that. It can give you that experience that just gives you that bit more confidence that actually I know what I'm doing here because I have practiced it. And I love that controllable element that you were saying about with the motorway. So it's like, okay, we're going to do that motorway driving, or we're going to do that roundabout, but we're going to start off with it being quiet. And then we can build it up and make it a bit more complicated. So it's that bite size.
What? Have you tried this? I know you do the instructor training through VR. Have you put sort of like, I'm going to say the general public, that sounds really bad. I can't think of the moment another word. But have you put those people in it to drive that may feel a bit anxious or nervous?
So, no, I mean, the only VR that we currently have access to within the driving school is our instructor training VR. And and it's only really through exploring out. I've had conversations with people over in the US and Canada, you know, across Europe, and then, you know, previous colleagues and things like that. And it's only through conversations with them that I've gone, oh, actually, okay, there are now other applications and opportunities and things like that. And I think that's the bit where I think, well, if over the next year, 2 years, this is where I really want to sort of, you know, be able to go, right, okay, that's our next opportunity and project. But it is fascinating what people are already developing. And I think back to when we first launched VR, and it comes a little into what you were just saying about visualization. I was having conversations that I didn't understand, but I was having conversations with people and they were training autonomous vehicles. And they were like, well, actually, what we've realized is we don't need autonomous vehicles to spend hundreds and hundreds of hours out on the road, because an autonomous vehicle doesn't know whether that's a real road environment or a virtual road environment. And so they were talking to me about, well, how can you create virtual road environments for autonomous vehicles? And so I think that's the thing is, yeah, you know, coming into the world of AI a bit there and things like that. But I think that's the bit is you can go, well, actually, yeah, sometimes you're not tricking the brain and you're not tricking the autonomous vehicles, but you're just adding another level into there that helps. And I think what you just said as well, Tracy, in terms of sometimes you just need a little bit of extra confidence and things like that. You know, we're not, and this is comes back to right what I was saying at the beginning, is it's looking about how technology can help, not replace. And that's the bit is going, right, well, it doesn't matter, you know, we could have even just having a motorway junction and being able to sort of change the environment in the motorway junction in a VR sounds really impressive, but you can't do everything. And so it's just recognizing that actually technology is great, but it has limitations. And that's where then that real world driving experience really does take over.
Yeah, I think that's really important, really important. And what also popped up in my head then, and I don't know why, and I think it might be because I've heard you talk about the subject in the past some years ago, could there be a danger that it could make somebody overconfident?
So I think this is the ever interesting bit, which actually brings nicely into the AI opportunities as well, in terms of obviously overconfidence, especially young drivers and things like that can be a real problem. And so getting that calibration correct. And so if I can just jump straight into an AI opportunity.
Yeah.
So an AI opportunity in driver training, it could be a dash cam sort of style opportunity. And quite often, again, when we think about dash cams, we think around it's reading the road ahead. It might be able to tell if you're following too closely, speed limit violations and those sorts of things. But actually, I think, well, actually, you could flip that and actually get the AI intelligence to actually look like what's happening in the car as well as what's outside the car as well. So, for example, if there is a speed violation, has the instructor actually addressed that? And how did they address that? And did they address that in the right sort of way that it wouldn't sort of produce overconfidence, underconfidence and things like that? Because as a driving instructor, do we get it right 100% of the time? Probably not. And also we you know, marry it up with other things and things like that. So actually having a bit of an AI bit that sort of, you know, gives some coaching support, some help there or identifies it could help sort of calibrate that. It's also as well, I remember observing driving instructors. This was in the Netherlands. And so they could go onto the motorways and things like that much before we could. And I remember a young lad being taken out by his driving instructor, and he wasn't particularly good at some of the skills that he needed for the basic roads. But anyway, his instructor took him out and they did a junction on the motorway. And I mean, coming off, the instructor helped and intervened with the dual controls to help him slow down and prepare for the exit of the, you know, of coming up to the first junction as they exited and things like that. And I did think, well, has that person just been sort of confident skyrocketed because they can go home and go, oh, I ran on the motorway today? And actually, I think in their driving skills, you know, needs more work. But if you're using a dash cam, perhaps with some AI sort of built into it, that could actually then start to help a driving instructor understand, right, they've got this experience, they've had enough experience here, you know, in this rural roads, town driving, they've had experience with some cyclists and things like that, and start to really collate all of that information. That can then help the driving instructor think, right, they've had all those bits of experience. We're definitely ready for that next lesson of heading out onto the dual carriageways, the high speed roads and the motorways and things like that. And so that's where I, again, sort of see AI being able to come in is almost sort of produce that driver record of they've had enough experience. And if you think about young drivers as well, you know, often it all comes back down to have they had enough experience. And so if you can get the AI to actually go, right, this is what's happening and things like that, then absolutely. Gone a little bit round the sort of houses on that bit, but there's so many opportunities, I think, with the AI in terms of, yeah, just supporting the driving instructor and supporting the driver. And if we think, you know, for our, you know, people that might be a little bit anxious, information's helpful, isn't it? You can sort of think, and I think about, yeah, when I think about my daughter, she's like, oh, no, I haven't done this, and this. And often I go, well, no, you kind of did that there. So, you know, you should be fine. You just can't think about it. And so actually, being able to relay back and then say, well, I've never done that. And you can sort of go, well, actually, look, this is what your driver's record showing you is you have, I don't know, driven at 40 miles an hour before. You're going to be absolutely fine on this dual carriageway. Yeah. You know, there's those sorts of opportunities, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that links in a few ways, doesn't it? Because we were talking about memory earlier and the fact that your memory tricks you all the time. And it's, your memory isn't true very often, so you do easily forget those things and that data. And that's also reminding me of a conversation we're very sad on our walks when we were talking about the blend of black box data and how useful that data is. So would you be linking up the AI camera in the car alongside the data that potentially the black box is picking up and then collating those two things together? Because, oh my God, that would be so powerful, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, there's funny that there's a company I've been talking to in the US, and that's exactly what they are doing is connecting dash cam data with the car data as well. And because, you know, I mean, I know now, and as I'm sure you do, in modern vehicles, you have the sign recognition that tells you your speed limit. It's not always right. You know, it sometimes misses a sign and things like that. So it's really helpful to have lots of different sources of data to bring together, and then you get that truer picture. And absolutely, I mean, a lot of the cameras have sort of, you know, the sensors in, don't they, for harsh braking and things like that, but possibly not as reliable as what's built into the vehicles. And so if you can combine those sources of data, I think you've got a really powerful solution. And you know, we do it all the time. You know, if we think about our navigation systems and all the different systems that we've got, it's just trying to harness that in the right way, really, and being able to have that user experience benefit from it.
See, I think AI, virtual reality, I think it's the future, but it's also with us at the moment. We just don't know how to use the best of it. We haven't quite worked that out yet. But what, you know, people like us, we talk to people all the time and we can see the benefits. How do we get this across to the general public that are probably more dubious of it, that they can't see the benefits, I suppose? You know, people that listen to this podcast will go, so what are you trying? Are you going to be watching me all the time? Because that's when we're out training with these people, that's what they think.
Yeah.
They think it's like watching them, which then gives them that anxiety.
Oh, yeah. The thing of worry about being judged and the social concerns of what other people think.
Yeah. So how does that sound with potentially what you found out already?
Well, I think the important bit is how information then is brought back to the benefit of the user. And so it really is thinking very clearly about what is being displayed to them. But if you've got information, say, on speed, on following distance and things like that, it can't just give you that information. It needs to tell you something about that information and sort of give you some guidance for going forwards. So I think that's a really important part of it. The other bit, though, is being able to switch it off. And especially, I mean, if in a driving lesson, if your driving instructor is using a dash cam and things like that and actually able to support you at the moment, you know, you should have that opportunity to say, can we just switch that off now and just let me focus because it's making me feel funny or whatever. And I think, you know, we have to recognize that whilst there's so much opportunity in technology, sometimes it's nice just to switch off and not worry about it. So can't do that with all the car data that's there now. I mean, there's so much data, isn't there? But I think the other bit as well is AI can sound quite scary, but it's amazing how much it's already there. And so if people are sort of using things like OpenAI and ChatGPT and things like that, you know, it's those sorts of things that actually people can find benefit from. And it could just be asking and saying, oh, you know, I've got this journey and any tips, any hints. Again, it can give you information. You've got to sort of do the responsible thing of thinking, right, is that all accurate? And you know, how am I going to sort of take that on and use it? In my head, that's not very much dissimilar to social media these days, you know, in terms of I can ask a question on social media, I can get loads of responses, but really, you know, I don't know, there's an advert, I think, out at the moment. You know, do you want to use a lemon or deodorant? You've got to still, you know, take that responsibility of that information. But yeah, I suppose come back to that original bit of technology's there. It's just about how we harness it and then harness it to help as opposed to sort of replace or to watch people too closely. So yeah.
There's all sorts of things you could do. You could say, I'm doing this journey, so what would be good rest stops for me on this journey? But then you need to take the responsibility to make sure that those service stations or whatever are still there. So before actually going and doing the journey rather than relying on it completely. Otherwise, I can see a whole new... We did a podcast episode about a year ago with people's sat-nav stories where people were telling their stories of all sorts of weird and wonderful things that happened to them because they followed the sat-nav regardless. So I could see an AI version of that as well. But it is just all about bringing it all together, but using it, isn't it? It's remembering to fact check the information that you get.
Yeah. I think the sat nav as well is, I mean, you know, we can link that into sort of autonomous driving and what's happening in cars at the moment. You know, as you say, everyone's gone through that experience of trusting their sat nav too much. But even then, you know, really, you have your sat nav on, but you've got to use your eyes. It's the same if you've got any sort of semi-autonomous driving on your vehicle now, you know, whether that's your your adaptive cruise control and your lane keeping assist. You know, you can't just put that on and go, right, it's all going to be okay. Car's going to take full responsibility for everything that goes on. You've got to sort of, you know, learn about it and you know, understand it and still hold that responsibility. And I think then that sort of almost answers that question of, you know, some people getting more anxious because a car is doing things, other people being able to go, well, actually, that's all okay. I think everybody needs to understand these systems, because then if you are more anxious about it, at least you've got an understanding of it and you know perhaps when it's not going to operate as well as it perhaps should and things like that. Or if you are completely okay with it, well, you've got some understanding there to do to go, don't trust it 100%. You still need to be active in that driver's seat. So I think, yeah, knowledge is definitely quite key here. And again, these are complicated systems, you know, and getting more and more complicated. And so it's all about, well, how does that information get portrayed, you know, in a really useful and meaningful way that doesn't overwhelm people? Because unfortunately, yeah, it's not, you know, it's quite often you buy a vehicle and then all of a sudden you're out there having to work out and play with it and things like that, as opposed to having that trusted source next to you. But again, that might be where your AI assistant comes in, that you can ask the car, well, how do you actually operate and do this sort of thing and make these decisions? So who knows? Who knows what the future is? But it's a very interesting period. Yeah.
I was just about to say that, because it's, there is so many possibilities, isn't there? You know, for cars. But then it's, I know I'm coming off topic like I normally do in this, but the structure, the infrastructure of our roads needs to be there as well, doesn't it? And I think sometimes that has a detrimental effect on what we're trying to do to help people when the infrastructure is not there as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And if we talk about just electric vehicles at the moment, that's one of the big things that people worry about in terms of infrastructure and you know, not being able to charge and range anxiety and all of this sort of thing. And actually, I mean, just now, just to bring in the experience of the other part of the business in terms of our breakdown, very few breakdowns are because people have run out of charge. Most electric car breakdowns still are around tires and still are around the 12 volt battery that operates everything else, rather than the actual big batteries that's powering the car. But it is about planning again and really sort of thinking about those journeys. And so yeah, it's infrastructure and things like that. Yeah, I think it's just working that through and thinking, right, okay, well, this is what I'm doing, this is where I'm going, and things like that. Interestingly, I was thinking the other week as well, well, if you've got autonomous cars, do you need pavements and curbs, and do you need road signs, and do you need white lines all down the road and things like that? Because an autonomous car will probably behave a lot better than some of our other drivers out there, and won't break the speed limits and won't do this and things like that. And I was thinking, well, do they actually need lanes to help them position if they're not actually using the white lines? And so it would be, yeah, I mean, we're talking about way, way, way in the future, but you just kind of go, hold on, does this just change everything in actually how we perceive, you know, movement on the road and the road infrastructure? But sorry, we're getting well away from giving confidence to anxious drivers. But
we love it though. We love it. And actually, because a lot of the autonomous vehicles do the lines, they're the thing that's really important at the moment, aren't they? That's the bit of the infrastructure that's not there, that's maybe holding things back. But yes, you're quite right, in the future.
Satellite, see, GPS, you had to tell
And
you.
The more autonomous vehicles that there are, scary or exciting.
Yeah, I was going to say, scary or exciting. Yeah, yeah. Depends which way you look at it. But
The kids will have me in a home before that all comes in. Yeah. Right, so it'll be fine.
So when we did an episode with Dr. Adam Asmore, who had brought out his recent piece of research, and right at the beginning of that, before he started his four-year piece of research, his whole aim was to research the use of VR with anxious drivers. But actually, he had to sort of like take several steps backwards, because he needed to fill in the lack of research around anxious drivers before he could move forward. So he never actually got to that part of, you know, for him, he feels that, yeah, VR could be a really good way forward. So it'd be interesting to see if we ever get to a point where we do get to do some research on it. And, you know, that can be looked at, because it feels as if it's got real potential. And definitely that link up, I think, of the AI, the in-car camera, the, you know, the data from the car, along with an instructor and somebody who can actually interpret that in a way to produce, like you say, a record, a learning record, or a drive-in log, that somebody can look back and go, actually, I've done this, and look at all these great things. Suddenly, when you look at, does somebody feel negatively about their driving, or do they feel positively? If you've got a report where actually you've got a whole load of green something, green ticks or something, to say, look at how great all of this was. And, you know, and this is an area for a bit more improvement. But overall, look at all this good stuff. It'd be great.
Well, that's it. And it's still, and that's what I think what I like about the opportunity is it still needs that human element to be able to put that across in a, you know, in a human way, and things like that. And because, again, it is very easy to go, well, that's just what the computer says. It's not really my driving, you know? And so you do need that reassurance, don't you, about to put it across. And I don't think VR, I don't think AI and all of these sort of connected systems are the end of driving instructors. You know, there still needs to be a driving instructor. And even as we go down and vehicles become more and more autonomous, you know, there's going to be more and more reasons that you're going to need a driving instructor to really sort of help through that bit of you know, we're not, even if we have cars now that do drive out on the public roads and don't really need human intervention, but there are really a number of those cars, you know, and so we've got a really long time before the whole car park is switched over to autonomous cars. And you know, you need a driving instructor that's able to interpret that and go, hey, look at that car. That's not got any autonomy on it. That's somebody that's kept that alive because they wanted to keep a manual, you know, manual transmission, and they've got that car running still 20 years later. So I think, well, touch wood, you know, we're all good until retirement. And that's my aim. So
I've only got 4 years.
Mark, is there anything that we haven't managed to talk about yet? Is there anything that you thought, oh, I really want to talk about that? Or is there anything that we haven't asked you and you wish we had asked you?
No, I don't think so. I think it is, as I say, you know, in terms of, especially if we're looking for, you know, to give people confidence in learning to drive or getting back into that driving seat, it is around, as I say, it's about the information there. But, you know, as this technology does come in and as it grows, you know, it's sort of, it is to go, well, let's give it a go. Let's see what that is. And so I think that's, try and give people confidence.
Nice.
Lovely. Mark, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great. It's fascinating having that glimpse into the future.
It's a fascinating subject, but we don't know the answers, which is even fantastic, because you just go, what could this do? It'd be interesting to see the next 5 years, I feel.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's, I mean, there's always that commercial aspect that comes into things and things like that. But as I say, I think there is that opportunity, you know, to go, actually, there's a real need for technology to really come in to support it as we go through this transition from, you know, ICE vehicles, so combustion engine vehicles, through to electric vehicles. And what's really interesting, as I say, is the conversations I've been having with people about how, where they are on that journey and what they're sort of seeing. And so, yeah, let's really hopefully shape the technology that's coming through to have a real benefit.
Brilliant. And if people want to follow you, Mark, how do they find you?
The best thing is probably LinkedIn. I'm not really much on social media apart from LinkedIn. So, but yeah, they can find me. So Mark Bourne on LinkedIn.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for your time as well. It's been great.
No problem. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
I'm just going to jump in here to let you know about our Drive Calm Journal. We've created a 12-week prompt journal to support our listeners to take action and improve driving confidence. The journal includes questions, prompts, and exercises to create an action plan and an opportunity for reflection afterwards. Search Drive Calm on Amazon to take a look. We hope it helps. Thank you for listening. Find out about the different ways that you can work with us on our website, www.confidentdrivers.co.uk, and begin to transform the way you feel about driving.